We do what is required, and I think that describes most of us. If Mama asks us to clean our room, we get it so it looks like it's almost cleaned up, right? Take on my grandsons here a little bit. But what if we made it our practice to do all that was required, and then even more? Brethren, Christians must approach their calling that way. Luke 17 and verse 10. I'm going to break into a description by Jesus Christ about a faith and duty and responsibility. And in verse 10, Christ makes this statement in Luke 17. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what our duty was to do. You know, brethren, we can become fruitful and productive, even profitable servants of God when we do more than just the basics, more than what is just required. It's more than just showing up, a lot more. And I have 2 points I'd like to give you today to kind of entrench that concept, if you please. First one, and I'll give you some scriptural references to back this up. Point number one, prepare for doing more. If you're going to do more, you need to be in a frame of mind and a position in life, a readiness at hand to actually do more. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40. Give an example of someone who was prepared to do more. But he was prepared, and that is part of the point of this example. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40, we see the account of David confronting Goliath. And after having tried on the clothing and the armaments of Saul, he realized that that wasn't going to work as he went to meet Goliath. But notice what he did in verse 40. Then he took his staff, something that as a shepherd tending sheep he would have had, and just generally that was something that was common at hand. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. 5. It took a little time to bend over, pick up 5 smooth stones, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. As the story goes on, we see that it only took one of those stones to accomplish what needed to be done for him to conquer Goliath. But he was prepared, brethren. He didn't go at it and say, well, look, I know I'm going to win this battle. I'll just take one good smooth stone, put it in my sling, run out there, win the battle, and everything's good. No, he had 5 smooth stones. He was prepared for more than just that one stand. Now let's go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. I want to make it a little more specific to each one of us, how we should approach our lives and circumstances we face. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, Peter writes, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Not haughty and arrogant, but rather in meekness and fear, be equipped. If a question comes up, and I will to the number of updates that we've done and how many Q&As we have there, and booklets. If you just are starting now, you've got a daunting challenge ahead of you to catch up, right? But the point is, we should be ready to represent our belief. And if we have questions, get them answered. Send Mr. Norbert Link a whole series of questions he can use for Q&As. I'm sure he will relish the feedback. We've had some writing back and forth on just that very topic this morning in preparation for a possible Q&A. But again, this is under this point of being prepared for doing more. That more part of it is being able to answer a question fully equipped, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Matthew 17 and verse 21, let's turn over there. I want to pick up a little bit of this because Christ is giving his disciples very specific instructions in Matthew 17, verse 21. Well, let me give you the background going up to it. What had happened was the disciples of Christ, even though they had been sent out before to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to witness to the kingdom of God, here they ran into a situation where they could not cast out a demon that was tormenting this young man. Will you please do this? There was more that was required here than what the disciples were equipped to do. They weren't prepared for this quite yet. Later on, yes, they became prepared. In verse 21, Christ said, after he cast out this demon, he said, "This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting," something that Christ had certainly done. And he prepared to do what needed to be done. Matthew 17:21 is just teaching us that prayer and fasting are some things that can help us prepare for doing more when we're called upon. Not that we're all going to be called upon in the same way, but to be close to God, to do what I had mentioned in 1 Peter 3 about giving an answer. Well, we can be equipped more effectively if we pray, if we fast, if we're diligent in our studies, going beyond just the very basic requirements. All right, that's point number one. Now, point number two of 2 points. Do more. Title of my sermon, it is All and More. Playing off the concept that after we've done all that's required, we're not even yet at that point profitable servants. Well, here, let's get into the profitability that we can have in our service to God. Christ says, do more in so many different ways, but let's look at an example in Luke 10, verse 35, and this has to do with the compassionate neighbor, otherwise known as the Good Samaritan, by traditional use. Luke 10 and verse 35, he poses a question back, and he says, completing the account here of the Samaritan's actions, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." He didn't just dump this injured individual into somebody else's responsibility, but he stayed engaged. He did more than what was even logically required. He saw to it that this man could be mended properly and helped properly. You know, brethren, technically, we could say that our neighbors are those people who just live around us. And in today's society, very few of us really know who our neighbors are. And it's always exciting to have a garage sale or something and get to know your neighbors. And we probably have all experienced something similar to that. But I'm going to make the point by reading from this example of that Christ is bringing up that being a neighbor is more than just proximity. It's following up. Proverbs 3 and verse 27 under this subpoint that I'm making here about how we can do more. Proverbs 3 and verse 27. Here we have this advice. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. How often have we ignored the opportunities to do more when we could have, when we should have? Now, again, I'm going to give you some more scriptures to drive home this second point of doing more. Matthew 5 and verse 41. A whole series of things that Christ instructed his disciples about. And I'm just going to make this one quote for application here. Matthew 5 and verse 41. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two. And this, I think you, most all of you would know, is if you look at the history of this, it's part of the Roman mail system where citizens were compelled to, and people were compelled to help for a portion of the journey, say a mile. And Christ is using that as an analogy. But it has to do with doing more than the basics, going over and above, doing more. Then in John 10 and verse 10, my last subpoint under doing more. John 10 and verse 10, I'm going to break into the verse to make a point about Jesus Christ, who is doing more. Didn't just do more, but is continuing to do more as our living high priest seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He makes this statement about us, his concern for us as our Savior. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Not just physical life, but abundant life, qualitative life, life where we know and understand and hope and dream and have all the ramifications of being an enriched experience beyond our wildest imagination, really, as we look at the Word of God and come to understand that that abundant life that's ahead is something we just catch little flashes of understanding about. But look at, just to make the point of the approach Christ used when he was here on the earth. He taught his disciples, and this applies now, Matthew 19 and verse 29. Matthew 19 and verse 29, talking about discipleship and the rewards that go along with that, that abundance that isn't just reserved for the future kingdom of God. Look what he says. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And as some of the verses say, not only in this the life to come, but in this life also. And a final scripture talking about Jesus Christ, and I think this paints in broad strokes, we can kind of stand back and catch a bigger vision by reading and understanding. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. Peter writing in one of his two letters here. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would be or would follow. That's the gospel. The sufferings of Christ, in order that all of these glories would follow. And Christ is doing more, and this plan is being worked out, and we're certainly a part of it. We can't just call ourselves Christians. We must be Christians. That means being converted and living by the power of God's Holy Spirit. That means doing all, and then, brethren, doing more.